Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to listen to the broadcast. Today is day 7 of the uprising of the protests in Iran, with the freedom fighters still out on the streets, raising their voices, crying out for freedom, even in spite of 144 hours of a shutdown, a blackout of the internet. Since last Saturday, the government shut down the internet, with only 4% of the internet for the government to communicate with each other, but to shut it down so that videos, phone calls, and other things about what's happening in Iran is able to get out because of the shutdown. Now, I want to give you some facts really quickly, right up front, about what's going on. I mentioned this is day 7. In the last 7 days, when the announcement was made last Friday about the gas price hikes, since then, 7 days of protests have seen bloodshed, incredible fatalities. 251 innocent Iranians, most of them peaceful protests, have been shot and killed by the government. 251. Over 3,700 have been injured. Lots of hospitals responding with victims. It's complete chaos. 7,000 arrested. We may never see these people ever again. Once they're incarcerated, they will be in interrogation, they'll be in solitary confinement, and I've heard reports that the death penalty could be the likely outcome for the protesters. This revolution, and that's what it is, this revolution has spread to more than 144 cities. 7 days, 251 killed, 3,700 injured, 7,000 arrested, 144 cities, and 144 hours without the internet. On my Facebook page, a lot of Iranian friends of mine are crying out, "What is your government? What are they doing about this internet crisis? Well, there is some good news. Brian Hook is a U.S. envoy for the situation in Iran and the Middle East, and he filed this report just a day ago about what the American government is doing to bring this internet crisis to an end.
The hypocrisy that we're seeing right now is with the regime. I'll give you one example. They have shut down the internet in Iran. At the same time, the supreme leader, the president, and the foreign minister continue to use social media, and they use the internet to get out their message, but they don't let the Iranian people get out the truth of how this regime is murdering protesters, they're oppressing them, and they are resisting their demands for a better way of life. The Iranian people know that this is a deeply hypocritical regime. It is a corrupt religious mafia that has been stealing the wealth of the Iranian people for decades. Shortly after I assumed this role as the special envoy for Iran, I had a sense that there would be protests in the future, and I know that the regime tries to shut down the ability of the Iranian people to communicate with each other. So I started working with a number of private sector technology companies, and we have been able to get into the hands of the Iranian people circumvention tools that allow them to communicate with each other when the regime tries to censor them. And so this work has been going on for well over a year and a half. We are also trying to put in place workarounds to help the people work around the Iranian regime shutting down the internet. And we think that that's going to help some people connect to the internet so that they can continue getting out their videos.
These circumvention tools are in the process of being disseminated among Iranians. I don't know how this process works. I do know that I have a petition on my page for this internet crisis to email the White House. I'm sure they're well aware of it, as you heard there from U.S. Envoy Brian Hook. But you can continue to bombard the White House with your complaints about this crisis, and they are working on it. And he is so correct about saying the government wants to continue murdering the protesters so that you and I can't see it because the internet is shut down. I was talking to my Iranian friend Shide, who's lived in the U.S. for a number of years in Dallas, Texas. And as a former Iranian in Iran, she talked about that during the months before the revolution, the protesters then against the Shah would burn down buildings and banks and cinemas. She says, when you read about and hear about the burning of banks in Iran, just remember, this is the work of the government to give a bad image to the protesters and justify them killing him. So you understand the government does a lot of this stuff themselves, and in that case, they allow video to go out over the internet because they want people to think that all of these protesters are radical, that they're violent, and they have a reason to shoot and kill them. Don't believe it. From someone who lived in Iran, she knows exactly what she's talking about. I want you to hear right now 19 seconds of protesters. They've been chanting, "Down with Khamenei, down with Rouhani, death to the dictator." I want you to hear 19 seconds of voices of freedom fighters in Iran. Well, we'll get it going here. We will try. Eric. There are many chants like "Down with Rouhani," as I mentioned, "Death to the Dictator." They've been tearing down signs in Iran that says "Down with America." Once again, the Iranian freedom fighters are with us. They know that we support them. And one of the first things they did during the uprisings is go to these posters of the supreme leader, and those posters in Iran put up by the government that says "Down with America," they have been tearing these signs down because they know that Americans are with them. I want you to get an upfront, close, personal evaluation of what's going on from Philip Luther of Amnesty International, Sana. Since he filed this report a day ago, the death toll has increased. So he's going to say around 106 people, but in reality, according to my statistics, it's more like 251 that have been killed and murdered by this government during the protests. I want you to hear this special report now from Philip Luther of Amnesty International.
Thank you. Well, Amnesty International has been working with human rights activists, independent journalists, to get as much testimony from people on the ground as possible. Now, that is challenging, as you say, because of the near total internet blackout. But nonetheless, we have been able to get eyewitness testimony. We've been able to get information from 21 cities. We've looked at video footage and verified that that footage. And what it tells us is a story where the Iranian security forces have been using excessive lethal force to crush what have been largely peaceful protests.
In terms of security forces using live rounds, opening fire at crowds of protesters?
Yes, so the patterns that we have seen include security forces using firearms, water cannons, tear gas to disperse protests, and beating demonstrators with batons. Now, images of bullet casings left on the ground, as well as the shockingly high death toll, indicate that live ammunition has been used. And across, we've looked at the situation in 21 cities, and according to them, the credible reports we have, at least 106 protesters, we believe, have been killed. But actually, the real death toll may be much higher.
On top of that, the authorities themselves have confirmed that at least 1,000 people have been arrested. Have we any idea of what will happen to those people?
We do, because we've been tracking the aftermath of demonstrations in Iran for many years. And the concern is that those who are arrested will be certainly interrogated, but in some cases they are likely to be subjected to forms of torture or other treatment. That has been a pattern over the last few years. They are likely to be held in what we call incommunicado detention, meaning that they are likely not to have access to lawyers or their families, certainly for days, in some cases perhaps even weeks. So that's a major, major concern. Among those who've been arrested are at least one human rights activist who we know, and our concerns are clearly about her because of then the way in which the Iranian authorities have been cracking down on human rights defenders more generally over recent years.
What about this unprecedented internet shutdown then? The group NetBlock says that the country is almost completely shut off from the world. What effect does that have on people inside Iran?
So the internet shutdown, as we understand it, happened as of the 16th of November, so less than a day after the protests began. And what the Iranian authorities did was to shut off nearly all means of online communications for people inside Iran. And it's clearly an information blackout that is an attempt by the authorities to prevent people from sharing images, videos of the deadly force being used by security forces. You mentioned the NGO NetBlock. Its information is that Iran's connectivity to the outside world has fallen to 4% of ordinary levels since the protests began. That's an extraordinary fall. All mobile networks have been disconnected. And there is some information that gets out, and that's how we've been able to get information. And it's really only because some users have still been able to access the internet through the use of what are called virtual private networks, VPNs, and other means. But as I say, it's a tiny percentage of what Iran's access to the internet is usually.
And just finally, Iran's supreme leader has said that this is a security issue and not the people. They've also described The authorities have also described the protesters as rioters. This would suggest that they're not really interested in changing their tactics, that the priority for them is stopping these demonstrations.
The supreme leader, the president of Iran, and the head of the judiciary have all demonized the protesters and warned that security forces will continue to confront them with force. So the supreme leader demonized the protesters as villains, claiming that they've been incited to violence by counter-revolutionaries and foreign enemies of Iran, and is really, by ordering the security forces to implement their duties to end the protest, effectively giving the green light for this brutality to continue. And really, then, it's up to particularly then the mechanisms of the United Nations and the international community more broadly to really be having a loud voice to denounce what is a bloody crackdown, and give access to independent human rights observers to hospitals and detention centers in the country.
Many thanks to Mr. Philip Luther of Amnesty International. As you heard there, he is giving a report based on videos and contacts in cities across Iran. Now, since he gave that report just a day or so ago, the death toll has risen. Now, he said it was 106, is probably more, but it's 251. They said there were 1,000 arrested. According to my statistics, 7,000 arrested, and it's in 144 cities. I want to read some more statistics to you from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. And, of course, they are condemning the violence, which citizens have reported, the use of excessive force against protesters in Iran. Using live ammunition, it's resulted in hundreds of deaths. The security forces in Iran are beating, arresting, and killing citizens who have come out into the streets to protest in order to terrify people into returning to their homes in silent dissent. And of course, they added to that the shutdown of the internet. Now, they have an eyewitness in this report from Karaj, which is a city west of Tehran. He was asked not to be identified. He reports, "We haven't been able to post film of the protests and the violent response from the police and security forces, but we have seen with our own eyes people being killed. They have been firing at people and beating them with batons for peaceful protests. The people don't have weapons. These agents were armed. There are more to 70 to 80 people who have been hospitalized here with bullet injuries. Several others have been admitted because of the effects from tear gas," one eyewitness in a hospital in Tehran told CHRI. In the Sadiaj district of Tehran, eyewitness protesters being arrested. They were attacked with batons and dragged away. That was the journalist who told the Center for Human Rights in Iran, "I saw about 10 to 15 people being arrested in a 10-minute period, which tells me the number of arrests have been very high. What's causing concern is that nothing is known about the identity of the detainees or where they're being held." Now, another witness told Center for Human Rights in Iran that bodies of slain protesters are not being released to their families. The bodies of all those killed should be immediately released to their families. Now, the protests began, of course, last Saturday, and it started out in 50 cities, and now it's spread to 144. You can see these videos on my Facebook page, but I would ask for you that when you come to my page, you share these videos. With the internet blackout and only 4% of the internet up and running for the government, there are really no videos coming out, and we can't see what exactly is happening in Iran unless someone calls someone in Iran on WhatsApp or Telegram and gets some kind of a live report. So please post the videos of what's happening from my page in Iran, what I have so far, and please keep the story of the freedom fighters alive. Now, one particular post on my page, it's a giant picture of Freedom Square and thousands of people that get there gathered at Freedom Square. And the letters across this picture I've posted is called "Pray for Iran." Many, many people have come to my page to share that. There are practical ways we can support the Iranian freedom fighters, which I've mentioned to you, but one of the most important ways we can support Iranians right now is prayer, the incredible power of prayer. I wish I had the time to share with you the amazing answers to prayer God has given to me in praying for my Iranian friends as refugees, as asylum seekers, as leaving Iran. I wrote a book about my friend Maral, how she miraculously escaped Iran, and now she's a profitable, happy citizen today in Germany. I want to share with you very briefly a particular psalm that I use each time I pray for my Iranian friends. It is a powerful promise for Iranians to latch onto, because the Bible is God's holy word. It is perfect. You can trust it. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. This is my prayer for my Iranian friends, and a promise from God's word. It says, He will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to Him. In almost every book I have written about my Iranian friends, you will find on the opening pages or the closing pages this powerful portion of Scripture that is a promise. And as I pray this, I see God doing exactly what He promises to do. It says He will rescue the poor. He will do that. He will rescue the poor when they cry to Him. When we reach out and cry out to God in a relationship, He hears us. It promises us He will help the oppressed. Well, certainly the Iranian people for 40 years or more have been oppressed by an evil regime. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. Right now, the major media outlets are not supporting the Iranian people and defending them with showing their videos. They're so obsessed here with the so-called impeachment inquiry against my president, which is a political circus. They're so concentrated on that they have forgotten their responsibility as journalists to bring to your attention the plight of the Iranian people, the plight of the people in Iraq, in Venezuela, in Hong Kong. It seems like they've ignored them in favor of a political circus. But God says, I'm going to help you, despite what journalists don't do. I'm going to help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. And the Bible says He feels pity for the weak and needy. God is not a distant deity. He understands pain, sorrow, and suffering. He took on human flesh in the person of Christ and died on the cross and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. He understands pain, so He can feel pity for the weak and needy, and He will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, because their lives are precious to Him. Your life is precious to God, my Iranian friend. He will redeem you from oppression and violence, because He loves you with an everlasting love. This is the promise of Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. The Bible also promises in Revelation chapter 21 that one day, God will wipe away the tears of all of His people, all of those that have called out and trusted in Christ. There will be no more sorrow, be no more pain. Death will be swallowed up in victory. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. God's people will be with God Himself. He will wipe away the tears from their eyes. There is coming a day when all evil and suffering and death will be banished, and we will reign forever and ever in God's holy, perfect kingdom. I want you to hear a song right now from Jeremy Camp that talks about this incredible promise. There will be a day.
Try to hold on to this world with everything I have, But I feel the weight of what it brings, and the hurt that tries to grab, the many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own, but there has never been a step. But you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store. How is the hurt of life seen? But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day.
Very powerful worship music of Jeremy Camp, with the promise of God's word that there will be a day in the future with no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. We can latch on to this promise from God's word. If you go to my Facebook page as soon as possible, you're going to see a video from the State Department right now on my Facebook page. It's a special video message from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo showing the brutality and the killing of protesters that are going on right now in Iran. So this is a video you want to share, that video and all videos from my page about the crisis that's going on in Iran. Be practical, share, keep their stories alive, and most importantly, pray for their salvation. Pray for their freedom. Please join me in being a voice for the voiceless protesters in the internet blackout. Keep their stories alive. Share it on your pages, and let's do what the media is not doing, and that is sharing the powerful crisis that's going on in Iran. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to my program today. I will see you again on Monday for another episode of The Cross in the Desert.